Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Leprosy was a very bad thing. Horrible disease. No respecter of persons. Struck the rich or poor, high and low alike. And today we read how it struck Naaman, the ancient commander of Syria's army. Leprosy was unsightly and deadly. It ate away at a victim's body, and they were afraid to be seen in public, and the public was afraid of them. So they lived in leper colonies, suffering neglect and scorn. It wasn't until the 20th century, with the advent of modern antibiotics, that leprosy has finally been able to be treated and cured, apart from a miracle. But today we learn of such a miracle. Naaman was struck at the height of his power, but in command of his king's army, he was too valuable to lose to a leper colony. He needed to be healed. But how? Well, of all people, a little girl who had been captured in a raid on Israel and placed into service to Naaman's family, she told Naaman's wife that there was a prophet in Israel, Elisha. Send your husband there. Perhaps he can help. So Naaman was sent to the king. And the king gave Naaman all kinds of great gifts to take to Israel. But unfortunately, he didn't go straight to the prophet. He went to the king of Israel. That would have been Jehoram, the son of Ahab. Jehoram was not a believer, and he was an atheist. He did not offer to help Naaman. In fact, he got pretty angry. He feared it was a trick. Am I God that I can heal a leper? Now, actually, when you think about it, Naaman didn't do as he was told. He was told to see the prophet, not the king. He wasn't a very good listener, and we'll find out a little bit more about him in a moment. So this is a reminder. We should pay attention to God's word no matter where we hear it, no matter who we hear it from. This is a reminder that not paying attention to God's word is not a modern problem. It's been going on for a long time. Now, the news about the stricken Syrian commander eventually reached Elisha. So he sent word to Naaman that he would help. But arriving at the prophet's house, he was met by Elisha's servant. The servant, not the prophet, the servant, told Naaman to wash 7 times in the Jordan and be healed. And Naaman was furious. Doesn't this prophet know who I am? Big time general. Why doesn't the prophet come out in person, call on God and touch me with his healing power? And why wash in the Jordan? There are better rivers in Syria than this creek. So Naaman went away very angry. But his men urged him to do as Elisha instructed. Put away your hurt ego and your wounded pride and do as you are told. So Naaman did, and he was healed. Now, out of thanksgiving, we later read, and it's a long chapter, so I didn't read the whole thing. Well, he wanted to offer those gifts, all those changes of clothes, gold and silver, and the prophet refused them. So Naaman was sent home cleansed of leprosy, but he was cleansed of something else. You read further in 2 Kings chapter 5, you'll see that Naaman was cleansed of his idol worship. From then on, he would serve the one true God. Now, there's a few interesting things about this passage, other than Naaman first not paying attention to the word of God that he heard from that little girl. Another thing I find interesting is Naaman's poor attitude. Until he was healed, he treated the whole process with scorn. He had contempt for the servants of Elisha, contempt for the word he was given, and contempt for the Jordan River. Now, oh, he wanted God's help, all right, but he wanted it on his own terms. And he made sure everyone around him knew that. Now, let's be honest. Are we any different? Do we want God to touch us with his power in some way or another? Of course we do. But when we find out how God does the touching, we don't like it. He does it through his word, which is always powerful and it's always a blessing. But for us sinners, it's never good enough. Like Naaman, we want something more spectacular. And we learn that God sends servants to act and to speak on his behalf. But how often do we not respect God's servants and treat them with scorn, the kind of scorn displayed by Naaman? Well, you know, God has given us his word, Holy Scriptures. It's always powerful, always works. He's given us the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, but even they don't seem good enough either. Naaman despised the Jordan's water, thinking he had something better. But how often do we despise God's means of grace? The Bible, baptism, Holy Communion. We'd rather God send something more dazzling. But that's what he sends. The things of God are always powerful and effective. Make use of them. Trust them. Yet they make as little sense to our modern enlightened mind as they did to Naaman's ancient unenlightened mind. But the things of God have always worked, whether it was in 800 BC or the 21st century AD. Trust them. Don't despise or question God's ways. He chose the Jordan River to the exclusion of all other rivers to heal Naaman. Likewise, God has chosen the gospel of Jesus Christ to the exclusion of all others to cleanse you from the leprosy of sin. As St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. Now, for Naaman, God attached his promise specifically to the water of the Jordan River. To Naaman, he delivered that word through very lowly servants, a little girl and the fellow who was helping the prophet Elisha. Now, these servants faithfully spoke the words they had received. And you know, this is the stuff of how God works for you and me, too. It's through his word, spoken by his servants. It's through water. And if that sounds like baptism, you should think of it that way. Because when you were baptized, one of God's servants, a pastor, delivered God's promise of salvation to you through the water and the word. You will always find God's promise to be contained in very simple things. The bread and wine of Holy Communion brings you the true body and blood of Jesus to strengthen your faith and forgive you your sins. Through these simple, humble, yet powerful means, word, water, bread, wine, God is delivering his grace and mercy to sinners. Another thing I find interesting is that little girl who told Naaman's wife about Elisha. She was just a young servant, not a theologian, not a person of any influence and power, but yet she learned God's word, and she respected God's servant, Elisha. It's pretty clear that she spent her young years paying attention to what she needed to learn, and she was willing to share what she learned with other people. She did not let her youth, her sex, or her inexperience stand in her way of making a good confession, and neither should any one of us. Like that little girl, we all learned to pay attention to God's word. So keep on paying attention to it, and don't just keep it to yourself. You know, God could be using you as an answer to someone's prayers. Now, don't be discouraged if you're speaking to someone about our Lord and they receive your message the same way Naaman did, with scorn, contempt, skepticism, if they just dismiss you and blow you off. Don't be discouraged. It may take more than just your testimony for God's word to sink into a person, because it did for Naaman. It wasn't just that little girl's word. It took some additional steps as well. You know, a ladder has a lot of rungs on it, and don't think just because you're the bottom rung or second from the bottom that you're unimportant. You're very important. Maybe it just may be that somebody is not going to get to where God wants them to be unless you're part of that process. Now, had that little girl kept silent, Naaman's wife would have kept silent, and Syria's king would have kept silent, and Naaman would have gone to a leper colony, and he would have never become a believer in the true God. So what does this tell you? Well, it tells you that the time to speak is now, and the person to do it is you and I. God's word is powerful and effective. It always works as God intends it. All you have to do is use it and trust it. And when you do, great things will happen for others and for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's now rise and we'll continue with the Nicene Creed on page 158.